Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoop Talks Live podcast, back for another week. I'm your host Mitch Robson alongside Sean Woodley. Sean, is it still Halloween?
No, it's not. If you go out to a bar this weekend and you are dressed up on November 3rd or 4th, I'm not with that. I don't know.
See, when did the Halloween...
I can't conjure up a big enough take to be like mad at people who do it, but like that's very lame. Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Instagram is still getting hit with Halloween photos right now. And they've been on my timeline since the middle of October. So I just want to know when the definitive end date is, you know?
I'm the kind of person who's like staunchly opposed to like birthday weekends and like having like a weekend designated to something that happens in the middle of the week. Like, sorry, your thing didn't fall on a convenient day for everybody. Better luck next year. Hopefully there's a leap year so it goes from Wednesday to Friday for next year. I don't care. This is not your birthday weekend. You don't just get three extra days because it's your birthday. And I'm saying this as someone who just celebrated my birthday like three straight days over the weekend, but I didn't make it about me.
There's your curmudgeonly take of the morning.
It about pals. Yeah, no. It's 12 o'clock. It's not the morning yet. I've been up for a healthy 6 hours, like a real old man. No, I'm more like five. I was about seven.
This is a college morning.
Yeah.
So.
We're less hungover this time around, though, at least.
We are. I do have some health in my voice, and I'm ready to talk about some of the NBA's better teams. Or are
we thought they were going to be better.
We did.
They probably will be better by the end of the season.
But that's no fun to project.
Yeah, no.
So, today on the podcast, folks, we are going to discuss whether the league's good teams that are in some stumbling blocks here out of the gates, where they fall in the panic room or panic index, whatever you prefer.
We're entering into the NBA panic room, I believe is what we coined it as before coming in, because we realized there's a weekly SB Nation football column called the panic index. So the panic room, no one's ever used that name for anything before, I'm sure.
No, make sure you keep your hands and feet inside the ride at all times. If you're under 5 foot five, sorry.
What?
It's not going to work.
Is this a roller coaster or something now?
I'm just trying to fire the people up here for the inevitable.
Okay.
Speaking of height and weight requirements, let's go to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Apparently their height requirements aren't all that lofty, though. They do employ Isaiah Thomas.
I think they have an age requirement.
Yeah. Must be withered with osteoporosis, probably. The Cavs have been ass. They've been not good.
I haven't watched much, but I really don't think I'm missing that much.
No, you're missing like ill-fated Derrick Rose drives into the paint that he either passes out for turnovers when they're supposed to be to open shooters, or he just like bricks a floater off the front of the rim. He's so bad at basketball now. It's startling.
I did pull off a Derrick Rose for Jonathan Simmons trade in my fantasy league, which I'm very proud of.
Derrick Rose for anything is...
I took advantage of
Kevin the roster Young. Spot might be kind of nice.
Just a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah. Wait, you said Kevin Young? This is the second week in a row Kevin's made an appearance on the podcast in spirit.
Yeah. I did gift him an earlier draft pick as we play in a keeper league, but
I see.
It is totally worth it to rid myself of the D. Rose virus.
Somehow Derrick Rose is shooting 51% from the field. I don't believe that for a second.
I think you're underestimating an 08 MVP.
He's currently shooting 20% from three, though, so that's nice.
It's the future of basketball inside the arc.
He has 1.8 assists to 2.3 turnovers per game.
So if you were to step inside the panic room and someone asked you, how much are you panicking about the Cavs, what everyday life scenario would you be at with them?
With the Cavs, as much as they've looked like crap and as much as their defense is terrible, I'm pulling up their defensive numbers right now. I know it's not good for sure. I want to get the exact number correct. But as bad as they are, I am like, when you wake up on a Saturday morning and for like 2 seconds, you think you're late for work. But then you realize very quickly, like, oh no, it's Saturday. It's fine. That's where I'm at with the
Cavs.
That's
not bad. I thought you were going to go maybe a step higher. For me, it would be, you're getting onto the subway after a long day of work. You start to nod off, and maybe you think you've missed your stop. Mm. Maybe you do even miss your stop. But you know what? Since we live in a city with a U-shaped subway system, you can just stay on the loop and get around to the other side. So not really a big worry, just a minor inconvenience.
Okay. Yeah. I just think they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure out what lineups are best. I think it was kind of smart to have Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade start to begin the season. I think they're both not starting anymore, so that's good. The starting lineup's been kind of fluid there, so who knows? Maybe they will get back in the lineup, but I do think that by the end of the season, they'll figure out what lineups work for them. They're going to stop playing Jeff Green. They're going to stop playing Derrick Rose when it matters. Isaiah Thomas will help them score a little bit more. He won't be a complete black hole of offense like Derrick Rose is, although, again, he's shooting 51% from the field, so... good on you, Derrick Rose. But no, I think, you know, they're going to be fine. They're going to figure out what defensive lineups work for them. Jay Crowder can't be this bad unless Brad Stevens is just literally the god, like the god king of coaches and gets everything out of players, and Jay Crowder's actually bad unless he's playing for Brad Stevens. I don't think that's true. Like, Jay Crowder's fine. He's kind of perfect to play next to LeBron. I think he'll figure it out. And, like, we thought it was going to take some time for the Cavs to sort of sort through things because, A, they coast through the regular season every year anyway, and, B, they have a lot of new faces and a lot of different things they got to, and egos and things to work out. I don't think their defense is going to be the second worst defense in the league, 0.2 points per 100 possessions away from being the last place defense in the league. Their net differential is negative 7.
It's not pretty.
Good Lord. That is fourth worst in the league. The Bulls, Kings, and Mavericks are the only teams with worse point differentials. That's kind of startling. But no, I think they'll be fine. LeBron is too good. They'll have team meetings and whatnot, and things will be fine. And they're going to probably cruise through the Eastern Conference again because the East doesn't look all that great, despite the Magic and Pacers being incredible and despite the Celtics somehow winning 6 in a row without Gordon Hayward. I think the Cavs are going to be fine. So I'm not all that panicked about what their start and how they're looking so far.
I tend to agree with you because we need to realize that this team just does not care, especially in October. LeBron's still focused on Ohio State football season. But I mean, I think maybe tonight, I was reading the Windhorst column on tonight's game against the Wizards in D.C. I think it was yesterday, that we know the Cavs just kind of walk through the early part of the season, but against this Wizards team that loves to puff their chest out and talk about how they're the next to be crowned the champs of the East without actually ever winning anything, I think maybe tonight we see whether it's LeBron just puts on a godlike performance to try to put Wall and Beal back in their place. We're going to see a much stronger effort on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't know if it's just because of an effort thing or maybe they'll work some things out schematically, but I don't think they're going to just let the Wizards walk to 130 points on them. The only thing I would be concerned about is with Tristan out for a month, I'm really not sure what defensive big they're going to use to anchor that defense unless LeBron has to do everything in there.
Yeah, maybe we'll see some Ante Zizic. So there's that. No, it's you know, I'm looking at their depth chart right now. And yeah, without Tristan, he's their best defensive player when he's playing well. He hasn't been good at all this season, but he is their best defensive player and kind of sets the tone for them in terms of rebounding and rim protection and all that fun stuff. And looking at the roster right now, the 15 guys I'm looking at, maybe 2 are good defensive players and probably like 10 are actively terrible defensive players. So if there is a red flag, it's probably that in that, you know, the Cavs, I'm not sure, like in years past, have a trade to make because they have traded everything they have to trade. Unless they're going to sort of partner like an Iman Shumpert contract with Chetty Osman or Ante Zizic, or maybe the Brooklyn pick, which I don't think they're going to want to trade because that is the thing that saves them if LeBron leaves. Like, they have that at least in the bag. I think it's going to be hard for them to make a deal. Maybe they get to the deadline and there's some team looking to offload a defender and they can sort of sell them on Chetty Osman. But it's going to be harder than in the past where there have been obvious deals for them to make, whereas like this season, it's going to be a little harder to, you know, just make it work mechanically and with the Caps. So if there's a problem with this team, it's probably that there aren't that many good defensive players, if any. LeBron obviously coasts and he doesn't expend all of his energy, and if he's doing everything on offense, then he's less apt to play defense. And so we could see them be like, I don't know, like a top 10 offensive team, but still like a bottom 10 defensive team like they were last season. But I still think that's probably good enough to roll through the Eastern Conference. I just think the LeBron, the playoff thing, we always underestimate how good he is in the playoffs. And even if the Wizards or the Raptors or even the Celtics looks good come playoff time, I don't think it's going to be enough in terms of full roster talent to overcome LeBron, because he's just a ridiculous singular entity who just brings wins with him. And it's very annoying.
Totally. We do this every year. So let's move on to our next team. We will go from a team in the Cavs that doesn't give any effort during the regular season to a team that goes all out 100% of the time, or so they should, the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Do you want to go first with this one?
Sure. I mean, Their results so far, they're 3-4. I'm not sure where people kind of expected them with this East. It's kind of been flipped on its head, at least for the first 2.5 weeks of the year. But they've got wins over the Bulls, the Hawks, the surprisingly okay Pacers, mm-hmm. and then you've lost to the Magic, Spurs, Celtics, and Wolves. So can we really be that upset with where they are right now?
I mean, they had a 6-game homestand to start the season. To go 2-4 in that is tough. They lost Hassan Whiteside, of course. He's only played one game. But mm-hmm. Hassan Whiteside, I don't know how much he impacts winning anyway. And, like, Bam Adebayo has looked fine for them. And, like, I don't know. For me, I'll get to how panicked I am with them first. But I just don't like their roster very much. I think they're a very fine, like, 500-ish team. But I don't think they're much better than that anyway. So 3-4 makes sense to me. And I don't know. They're just not a sexy roster to me. And I never really understood why everyone was like penciling them in for like a 6 seed. I thought they were very much in sort of the range of like the Sixers and the Hornets and the whatever, the Pistons, the teams trying to get into the playoffs. Like I think the Heat are more at that level talent wise than they are, say, with the Bucks or the Wizards or Raptors.
Oh, totally. I mean, you've committed I think they're well over the tax into a team of guys that has one combined all-star appearance for the entire roster. I think that was just Dragic 1 year. Mm-hmm. You're really buying into Spo being able to get everyone to perform like they did during that miraculous second half last year, and I think it's a new year. Waiters had that injury in the offseason, which he chose not to get surgery on, and they still shipped him a boatload of money, which is a little concerning for me. He hasn't looked like he's got the same pep in his step. And I'm not sure whether without Whiteside, there's no pick-and-roll game for him and Dragic to use. And when you're not able to find open shooters off of that, they're really going to struggle to create.
Yeah, so my panic level for them is it mirrors a real-life situation I had a couple weeks ago, actually. I was taking a bus from Toronto to Hamilton, and I did so at rush hour like an idiot on a Friday. And so I got on the bus at like 2 o'clock. Eastern time, whatever, going, it's like an hour trip, hour and 10 minutes usually from Toronto to Hamilton. I got on the bus, and 5 minutes after I got on the bus, I was like, oh, I kind of have to pee. And then the traffic started to build up. And then I looked at the sort of how long it was going to take to drive, and it was like, oh, this is going to be like a 2.5-3 hour trip. But I've already committed. I am on this bus, and I have to pee, and I'm going to have to hold this in for the next, like, 2.5 hours before I get home. And I'm panicking right now because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. But I'm locked in, and there's no way out of this. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with the Miami Heat. They are locked into this. They are just got on the bus, and there's a lot of trip left, and I'm not sure how they become any better than what they are right now.
Now, did you have to discreetly pull out a bottle, or were you able to hold on?
I was able to hold on. It was a painful ordeal. It wasn't my, you know, I had to loosen the belt a little bit just to sort of give myself a little extra leeway. But I made it. I was fine.
So
welcome into my urinary patterns, everybody. I'm glad that I could invite you in.
We love just treating people like friends on this show. Yeah. I'm going to say for my panic level with them, it's sort of going to be like you're at the bar surrounded by lovely ladies. And you walk up to one, try to get her number, and she just pulls the old spinorama on you. And what you do is you look at yourself and go, wow, this is me. I have no chance.
That's panic, or is that just like a cloak of sadness?
It's sort of a cloak of sadness with the Heat of, we saw, I think you've seen all these players. They've all got their contracts now. No one's really playing for any money next year, so this is what they're going to be. They're going to be a team that struggles to shoot the ball, especially Josh Richardson right now is putting up some putrid stat lines. But until Whiteside comes back, I'm not sure if he's going to unlock any kind of new element for this team. But you've got a bunch of career role players who've sort of expanded and flourished in that system. But without a true go-to guy, you're just counting on one guy to get hot every night and carry the team. And that's a tough way to play.
So are you saying that last year's playoffs, last year's 8 seed was, in this scenario, the attractive woman that the Heat were trying to get the number of? As they were walking up with that crazy finish going 30-11, but missing the playoffs on the last day of the season was the equivalent of the spinorama, and they may never get back to that level.
It was almost like you had spent a month or two Snapchatting her, texting her. There's maybe some emojis exchanged. You think, oh, I'm making some progress. And then you finally work up the confidence. You're going out, last party of the year before everyone goes home for the summer. You're about to go make the move and talk to her, and oh, she's making out with another guy. I think that's it.
Oh, man. I think our pal Dave is going to have a lot of fun making the animated shorts for this podcast.
There's going to be certainly some jokes made, I hope, with that.
Yeah. That or the peeing thing. Who the hell knows?
It's peeing to rejected in the bar. Yeah. That's just the life of a college male.
Speaking of animated shorts.
Why don't you take us to our next team?
What the hell, team? What are we doing next? I thought you're the host of this podcast.
I'm falling apart here. You're making me laugh.
Well, let's move on to
the Minnesota Timberwolves, everyone's favorite great, not great, sometimes good, but not great because Wiggins can't defend, but Towns is a god, but also can't defend, and Jimmy Butler team.
Yeah. I mentioned the Cavs defense being a putrid 111.3 defensive rating. The Wolves are 111.0. Tom Thibodeau. Are we sure Tom Thibodeau is a good defensive coach, or do you just have really talented defensive players?
I was going to say, I think everyone can be a good defensive coach if you have Kevin Garnett leading your defense.
Yeah, or, you know, Joakim Noah at his peak, or Taj Gibson at his peak, and not old-ass 67 number-wearing Taj Gibson. Why is he wearing 67?
I love the mid-2000s big men, big numbers craze. Like, we've got him wearing 67, Amir Johnson wearing the 90s.
It's weird. It's like anyone who plays for the Montreal Canadiens, because this is like 40 numbers retired and they have to just go to these random ass numbers.
Well, that's where we're almost at with the Yankees too, isn't it? They've retired 1 through 15 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Stop retiring numbers. Let people wear numbers if they want to wear them. It's stupid.
Oh, I like retiring numbers.
I like it when people wear number 23 and then fall in disappointment when they don't live up to Michael Jordan or LeBron James.
Is that, do you wear 23 in your pickup games?
I do not. I usually just wear like a dirty t-shirt.
Pretty representative of your game.
Pretty much, yep. I'm the dirty t-shirt of the 3-and-D wings. Except I don't play much D.
Or 3.
No, I actually, if there's one skill I have, it's shooting.
I'm a
pretty, yeah, I'm a pretty decent shooter. No, the classic white guy would be the I can't shoot, but I play really hard defense. I do not play hard defense whatsoever. There will be like a couple possessions where I'll flash my lateral quickness, but then I tire myself out.
You sound like a representation of the T-Wolves as a whole.
Yeah, pretty much. The T-Wolves are, their defense is not good. And again, you look at the roster and it's not surprising. I guess it is kind of surprising because like Wiggins should be a good defender. Jimmy Butler has been an amazing defender in the past. Jeff Teague has like never been terrible. He's been fine. Taj Gibson, of course, is very good. But then the bench is so bad. This is like it's very much like a Clippers situation over the last few years because Jamal Crawford is the sixth man, and it's not good. Cole Aldrich is here as well, so essentially they're just getting old Clippers bench players. Very excited for Glenn Davis to sign there.
Is that the next move? And then when Rondo comes off IR and the Pelicans start selling?
No, the Pelicans aren't selling. The Pelicans are fun to watch, man.
I still can't. I watched the Boogie game back in Sacramento, and that was fun because Anthony Davis wasn't playing.
Boogie and Brow are so good together.
Yeah, I don't, and I love big men. I'm just something about Anthony Davis. I just can't get in on the hype train.
Wow, you're just really anti-unibrow, aren't you? You're just,
as someone who has to shave the unibrow, maybe that's what it is, just residual anger that he lets it grow and defeats a whole group of us guys.
I didn't know that was a thing for you.
Stick out the time. Well, it's not something I usually divulge to the public. But
fair enough. Well, we're talking about my peeing pattern, so now we got to talk about body hair. You're plucking. Do you pluck or do you shave?
Depends. Okay. Really. I've almost thought about getting it lasered as well, but that would require me to grow it to a Davis level first. So I don't know if I'm too vain to do that.
Credit to Anthony Davis. He's made it work. Like, he has groomed it to the point where it looks good. Well, by unibrow standards.
When you're 6'11 making millions of dollars, I'll put a unibrow on my face too.
I think he's matched, like, the haircut has matched it enough and, like, sort of complements it well enough that I think it's fine. We've totally gone off the rails. What were we talking about?
The T-Wolves defense?
Oh, yeah. So my level of panic for the T-Wolves is, you know how in Panic at the Disco, the band, their name, there's an exclamation point at the end of Panic?
I like it.
Yeah, that's me. Panic!
So you're that worried?
About the defense, kind of, because I don't see how it gets better. And I don't know, they have this weird thing where anytime they hit, they're in a close game, they completely shit the bed in the fourth quarter and give up a million points. And Towns doesn't seem to know what he's doing playing defense, and they're relying a lot on like Baz. I think that's his full name soon.
Baz. Is it just Baz? He's getting rid of his last
name. He's getting a change to just Baz, yeah.
I like it.
Amazing.
I might get a jersey.
Yeah, how could you not? Yeah, so it's him. It's just, it's not, I'm not worried per se that they're going to like miss the playoffs or anything, but I don't think they're going to be as like exciting as I thought they were going to be, just because I feel like they're still figuring out the Wiggins-Butler sort of balancing act. They're still figuring out how to play defense. Tibbs might not be a good coach anymore. I don't know. It's all very, and it's so early, so maybe I don't need to be panicking like crazy, but panic with an exclamation point, as in Panic at the Disco, is my level of fear for them.
I think I might have to go with the panic level where you leave your house and you think you have everything, and then you get midway to your destination and you start doing the pat down, upper chest pocket, heart pocket, back pocket, front pocket, and you've left your wallet at home. And it's just such a deflating feeling of garbage that you have to go all the way back to your house to get this wallet. And I think that's what the Timberwolves are. We've seen them progress. Well, progress with quotation marks, because we really haven't seen that much on the defensive end. But the last couple of years, they're going to get better at defense. They bring Thibodeau in to try to mentor the young guys. That doesn't change anything. Then they bring in Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Jeff Teague, vets to try to bring these guys along defensively. But we're still at the point where they're one of the poorest defensive teams in the league. And until we see a concrete improvement from Wiggins and Towns on that end, I don't know if they're going to have the defense to try to keep up with this offense and get themselves into that mid-tier playoff seed.
Right. The sort of 5-8 spot is like, that's always going to be the most interesting part of this season, I think, in the West. Mm-hmm. And like, none of those teams are like blowing me away.
Yeah, Denver. I think that's been the nice surprise for me, is everyone talks about, oh, the West is going to be the greatest conference in the history of the league. The middle of the West isn't that great.
Yeah, the only team I would say is like legit good out of those teams is probably the Clippers.
Yeah, they've looked really, they've figured it out.
I think Blake Griffin is, I almost said Blake Murphy, but it would be apt either way. But they're both very good.
They look very similar, of course.
But yeah, Blake Murphy looks like
everybody.
Every person, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, so the Clippers I think are very good, but like the Grizzlies, we'll see. They've lost two in a row. I love how good the Grizzlies have been, and Marc Gasol has been my favorite player to watch this season, I think. He's been so awesome. And like the Jazz, I really like the Jazz, and I hope they continue to beat people into submission by playing insane defense on them. But other than that, like the Blazers have been okay. I think my sort of impression of the Blazers is clouded by how just handily the Raptors kicked their asses on Monday. How can you only score one bucket in a quarter and it's from Evan Turner? I don't know.
Hey, now they beat the Lakers on the last possession last night, everyone's favorite NBA team, so I think the Blazers are back.
Also, I know the Wolves are 5-3, the team we're talking about. I know they're 5-3, but like, are they? It seems like a typo to me. They don't feel like 5-3.
Let's check their. So they've beaten the Thunder. They've beat the.
They've beaten the Thunder twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have good wins.
They won at Miami in OT, and they opened up. And they beat the Pelicans yesterday.
Or on Wednesday, which is an amazing win.
In New Orleans too.
Yeah. Didn't Towns almost get like shut out in that game though?
I think so. They've actually played a pretty tough schedule. They haven't played a rollover team yet. So to be 5-3, I guess we're probably too down on them. After this segment of dread.
Yeah. I watched them play the Pacers this week, I think. Mm-hmm. They got their asses kicked by the Pacers. So that probably clouds my judgment on them a little bit, too. But yeah, maybe I'm panicking a little too much. Maybe I fired my Panic at the Disco joke too soon. It didn't land very well anyway, so it's
Would
fine.
That one land better with the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No. I don't really have that much worry with the Thunder. I mean, Paul George looks weird. In that I think he's just a spot-up dude now.
Yeah, it's going to take a very prolonged amount of time for them to kind of fill roles and Russ to ramp it down a little bit.
Paul George has been putting up like rookie and second-year Andrew Wiggins numbers. Like 21-1-1 and things like that.
That's less than ideal.
Yeah, because Paul George can do a lot of really good things. He's awesome. I don't know. We'll see. In terms of like long-term panic for them... Yeah, I'm like, there's someone calling me from inside the house. Like, I don't really, and I think the person calling from inside the house is Paul George. And early returns suggest to me that he's probably not going to stick around there, just because, and this is such a hot take 7 games in, but.
And this is incredibly steep.
Yeah, but, like, he's got a lower usage rate than Carmelo Anthony, and he's just kind of standing around. Maybe they'll figure it out. They probably will figure it out, and this will sound stupid, but as of right now, Paul George is the murderer trying to destroy the team from inside the house and will not be around when the police come next year. He will have left and killed some people, and the police won't be there to arrest. I don't know. This analogy has gone off the
You're
off
implicating the rails, Paul George for a crime he hasn't yet committed.
I know. I just, do you think he's going to stay?
I think it's far too early to decide, right? I mean,
well, look at you with your reasoned and logical take.
Yeah, I think we've reversed roles here.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday stuff. It's 7 games in. Paul George, I think, even though he likes putting up stats, he's not that stat-obsessed, I want to say, because
he was
so frustrated the past 2 years dragging that Indy team through the low playoff seed and trying to do everything himself. I think that once this team hits their stride, figures it out, and if they can finally have some successful playoff runs, I mean, if they get to the second round, quick out to the, not as long as it's not a quick out to the Warriors, excuse me, and if they somehow get to the conference finals, I think then it becomes a much tougher decision for him to just get up and leave and go to LA or what have you, because why would you put yourself back in basically an Indiana situation just with nicer weather?
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. I'm probably wrong. It just feels like he's not fitting in very well there. And what are we supposed to do? We're 7 games in. We have to come up with takes if we to keep this shit interesting. So
it seems odd that teams have only played 7 games and the season's been on for this long.
Yeah, it feels like the Raptors have been on the road for a month and they've only played 6 games in that time.
I didn't realize they still have a game in Utah tonight. I thought the trip was over.
No, sir. Another game at altitude. It should be great.
Well, there's no World Series tonight, so they'll play hard that we can all watch.
Nothing ever goes wrong with the last night of a long road trip ever.
Ever. Well, I think they obviously were thinking like me, and Denver was the last night of the road trip. So now it's right.
In Denver fairness, business. Kyle Lowry does have a history of just dropping his nuts on the Jazz.
That's fair. I think that
can we say that on this pod? I don't even know if we're allowed to swear. I don't know.
I mean, we kind of make the rules, don't we?
I guess at, like, Hoop Talks events, we can swear. So
yeah. Maybe wasn't that Lowry's first big game when he was on the team was in Utah? Like in 2011, 2012?
I think maybe, but I know last year, like, he kind of struggled to start the season, but his, like, first, like, Kyle Lowry FU game came against the Jazz, and kind of set up a really nice season for him. So, yeah, I have high hopes for tonight. The Jazz are fun, though. I'm excited to watch the Jazz.
Donovan really Mitchell, my son, is playing a lot better, so.
That putback dunk. Holy crap.
Filthy.
That was Jakob Poeltl-esque.
Jakob Poeltl versus the Stifel Tower. That's what you come to see in the NBA every night.
Yup. What else do we got? One more team to go here?
We do have one more team, and it is. Shockingly. So this morning I wake up, not as hungover as I had expected, walk out of my room, turn on the series recording of Inside the NBA. Still one of the most entertaining shows on television, if you take out the analysis part of it.
Yep.
And they cut to Greg Popovich talking on, the little graphic comes up, Spurs fourth consecutive loss. And I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
When do Popovich teams lose more than one game at a time?
Well, when they're missing by far their best player, it makes sense.
Does it, though?
What's their schedule been?
This is great radio.
Oh, it's amazing. They lost last. They of course lost last night to the Warriors. So that's a fair loss to have.
All their losses have been to teams that are playing well.
But it's to the Magic, the Pacers, the Celtics, and the Warriors. That's three of them have been they got killed by the Magic and the Celtics and the Warriors.
And they only beat the Bulls by 10.
Yeah, they barely beat the Raptors, who.
That's just, that loss.
Forgot how to play basketball last night.
That loss looks sad now that the Raps weren't able to pull it out.
What's your level of panic about the Spurs?
I think this is even more so, like less than the Cavs. I worry about the Cavs just because they're old and there's always drama surrounding them. And when Isaiah comes back, he's probably going to start demanding shots. And then we're going to get passive tweet LeBron, which is my favorite time of the year. But with the Spurs, it's been so silent on the Kawhi front. And the last update was that video of him struggling to walk up the stairs to the plane. Yeah. And everyone was freaking out about that. I don't know when he's going to come back. I'm not sure if he's going to come back for a lot of the regular season. Will he be back at Christmas for that marquee game? But without him, I think we might finally be at a point where even the Popovich system just isn't enough. There's just not enough talent on this roster.
Yeah, it's not a very talented roster by any means. And Dejounte Murray hasn't quite figured things out. I kind of thought he might have a little bit of a breakout this season, but it hasn't quite happened. Their upcoming schedule is pretty light. I mean, there's some tough games in there, but they have the Hornets, the Bulls, the Suns, the Mavs, the Hawks, all within the next couple weeks. So maybe that'll help them right the ship a little bit. But yeah, without Kawhi, this isn't a very talented team, and they kind of just get by on tryhardness, and that's about it.
And Rudy Gay is not the savior, I can tell you that.
Yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge has been really good, but I think it's telling that they've lost four in a row with LaMarcus Aldridge being really good. Whatever. LaMarcus is whatever. My level of panic with them, I mean, it just kind of hinges on the Kawhi thing. If they don't have Kawhi, then it's full-on nuclear war is about to happen. North Korea got real mad and it has developed intercontinental ballistic missile technology.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But without knowing that Kawhi is out for the season or anything like that, and expecting him back probably reasonably soon, in the next month or so, I would say my level of panic is how panicked the Jazz were the second time Gordon Hayward announced where he was going. They knew it was coming. It's okay, yeah, we can accept that Gordon Hayward's leaving. We don't have to change our plans on the fly. We've had 4 hours to digest it all. And then when the actual Players Tribune thing dropped, they were okay, yeah, we knew this was coming.
We knew this.
We accept this. It's fine. We're going to move on. And I kind of think that's the case with the Spurs. They are fine. They're not going to... They know Kawhi's out or whatever, but this doesn't really... There's not that many lines to draw between these two analogies. But, the level of worry that the Jazz would have had, the panic after 4 hours of having it set in, I think that's pretty much where the Spurs are. They'll be fine.
One thing I would be terrified of if I was one of Houston, Golden State, or Oklahoma City is if those top dogs end up being the three when they work things out... And the Spurs have to struggle without Kawhi for a long time as the Spurs being a sixth seed.
Yeah.
A first round matchup against the Spurs with Kawhi coming back as the underdog would be just pooping my pants.
Yeah. It'll be, man, we got to stop talking about our bodily functions on this podcast.
That's I think the animation for this week can just be us in two bathroom stalls talking. You ever been one of those guys?
No.
The between stall?
No, that's
thank God
disgusting.
I would have to cut you off right now.
No. Even if I go into the washroom at the same time as a coworker or something, mm-hmm. They don't exist to me while we're there.
Are you a urinal chatter or no?
No. Why would I do that?
Okay.
Maybe at a sporting event.
Yeah.
If you're going with your buddy to relieve yourself before sitting down, then maybe. But no, I'm not a urinal chatter. I'm not a stall conversationalist. It's not my it's not my go-to operation. No, it's disgusting. Yeah, you give the head nod, you know what we're about to do, and we'll talk to you in 5 minutes or whatever it is.
Wow, 5 minutes. You do have some bladder problems.
Well, I'm assuming that's you're not talking while you're in the washroom. Once you leave the washroom, it's okay to talk again.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, we learn more about each other every week doing this.
Apparently.
Why don't you take us to our hate watch of the week?
Oh yeah, I gotta pull up the poll here. Last week it was Denver, New York. I sort of watched this game. I gotta pull up the score again. I forget what even happened, to be honest.
I think Kristaps scored a lot. Wait, I can tell you. Kristaps scored a lot. They couldn't get a stop, and the Nuggets won by 15.
Yeah. Where the hell
was I right?
Box score. Maybe. Was it Monday or Tuesday that it took place?
I believe it was Monday.
Yeah. Okay. Nuggets, Knicks. Yeah. Knicks won 116-110.
Oh, the Knicks did win.
Yeah. Because Kristaps is God.
He is.
He's so good. I did not expect this kind of leap from him, man. It has been awesome. But yeah, this game, Kristaps had 38 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks on 14 of 26 shooting, 4 of 7 from deep. I mean, That's incredible. Jokic had an amazing game too. Jokic has been really good lately. He was great against the Raptors. 28, 8, 2 assists, 9 of 15, 6 of 10 from deep for Jokic too.
Paul Millsap though.
Yeah. This was also the start of a really Paul Millsap was struggling until he came across Serge Ibaka.
Of course, and that woke him right up.
He just cooked him. And then Jamal Murray's had a nice week too. 20 points. 8 of 16 shooting in that game as well. His three-point shooting has evaded him a little bit, but he's been nice defensively. I hope the Nuggets are figuring it out because they can be fun. I still don't think they have enough point guard depth to really be all that scary, but they're Gary Harris has been really steady and consistent. Their starting five is nice, although Wilson Chandler is kind of Wilson Chandler feels kind of ceremonial in the starting five. He kind of doesn't really fit with the rest of the exciting talent. He's just Wilson Chandler.
Remember when Wilson Chandler was the Raptors' savior last year around the trade deadline?
Yeah, man.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, the defense with him would have been so much worse.
Where are you at with your Nuggets as a not playoff prediction? I still don't think
they're going to make it.
And yeah, I mean, they did give up the 30-plus point quarters to the Knicks.
Yeah, they'll be in the hunt, but no, I don't think they're all that frightening. Their depth is weird. They're unbalanced. My take still stands from 2 weeks ago. The Knicks, though, they're 3-4. What's their differential like? Let's see here. I think they're bad. Yeah, they are 24th in point differential. They're scoring 100.4 points for 100 possessions, which is not
good. The best.
Nope, very bad. Although, offense is kind of down among the worst teams. Like, last year, pretty much every team scored at least 100 points per 100. Mm-hmm. This season, there are 7 teams so far that are scoring less than 100 per 100 possessions, which is interesting. I kind of like these, like, year-to-year fluctuations in scoring and defense and things like that. It's always fascinating to me, but... so this season is down for those teams. Like, the Mavs and the Jazz and the Hawks are all sub-100. The Knicks, 100.4. I'm just going to do the whole research thing on the fly once again, because why not?
I think the Knicks are an 8 seed in the East.
Yeah, I think they're in that running, yeah. I mean, because
they have just enough competent dudes around him. As long as Hardaway shoots better than, like, 38% from the floor, Kanter's going to do his work inside. You've got it would be nice if they could get Eric Bledsoe. I don't know what assets they have to give up for that, but then you have a legit competent point guard. Well, not I can't say point guard, but a lead guard.
I'm not sure I want them giving up their picks to get Eric Bledsoe, though, because they really need their picks after not having them for so long.
That's fair.
And, like, I'd rather build, like, a young core. And, like, I like Frankie Smokes. He's had a couple nice games. I'd rather them just build sort of more in line with Kristaps' trajectory, because, like, he's still only in his third year, and he's, what, like, 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got plenty of room to grow, and you don't have to rush things by getting Eric Bledsoe in there. That feels like a very Knicks move to rush and get Bledsoe. And then Bledsoe, like, hurts himself 2 weeks into being...
Phil will have made the trade already. It would have been, 3 first-round picks unprotected for Bledsoe.
Just to compliment my research, or finish my research, yeah. Last year, the worst offense in the league was 100.7 per 100 possessions. The Knicks are 7th worst or 8th worst, and they're worse than that, which is weird. Anyway, the Knicks are whatever. I think Kristaps is good enough, and I feel like Willie Hernan Gomez should be playing a little bit more.
But I was about Kansas to say,
pretty nice.
Pour some out for Willie.
If they can get any sort of competent point guard that's not Jarrett Jack in there. Then I kind of like their starting five a little bit, as much as Kanter's a black hole defensively. Like, Kristaps covers for him a little bit playing the four, although Kristaps should be playing center. Like, they're a competent team, I think. Lance Thomas not playing very much is weird, because he's good.
Yeah,
he's legit good.
I'm surprised Willie Hernan Gomez and Lance Thomas are in the doghouse right now.
Yeah.
Behind McDermott and Beasley.
Yeah. I mean, Beasley, super cool Beasley. Plays by a minute soon, I'm sure.
He'll get bucket. That's all you need.
Even though he is
buckets.
A treasure, yeah. we gotta go to this week's hate watch of the week.
Yes.
Thanks to anyone who voted.
Tee that up.
The people who voted hate us.
What are we watching this week?
So the four options were Sacramento, Detroit on Saturday, Dallas, Minnesota on Sunday, the Cavs and Hawks on Sunday. Which would have been just a disastrous matchup to watch, I think. And then the Heat and Suns on Thursday. And we got Sacramento-Detroit, 57% of the vote. And I don't want to watch either of these teams. Sacramento's kind of fun when De'Aaron Fox is doing things, but, like, George Hill and Zach Randolph look completely out of sorts and not really up to speed with this young, fast, cool team. Their offense is just abysmal, and their defense is much better. And the Pistons, I just don't find them entertaining, even though they've been kind of okay. I just hate watching the Pistons still. We've talked about this. I just can't get on board with watching Andre Drummond.
Well, we know that you're just anti-big men, I think, is the case here. Anti-tradition. No.
Yeah, anti-Whiteside and Drummond, pretty much.
Yeah, anti-big men who can't shoot. I've enjoyed watching the Pistons on this West Coast swing. That game against the Warriors was a lot of fun.
A good game, yeah.
Yeah, as long as Reggie Jackson doesn't overdo it and stays in his lane along with Drummond, who's not going to – he's been playing well right now. I think that they kind of realized Tobias Harris is the go-to guy.
Yeah, he's been good.
I hope that he can keep scoring the way he is, and I hope that the rest of that roster around him realizes that and doesn't try to take it over, and there's not really a power struggle there. Ish Smith's been fine off the bench distributing. The Kings, though, you're right. The vets need to take a seat and just become full mentors, and you got to just embrace the youth movement.
How would you rate – we forgot to rate our – on the stink meter, the last game, the – what the hell game? The Knicks and Nuggets, our hate watch from last week. It was kind of a good game.
It was an entertaining game. We haven't had a really awful game yet.
No, I mean, no, the Hawks and Bulls game was.
It was entertaining.
Truly putrid.
In its disgustingness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pistons and Kings, I think, will be the worst one we've seen so far. I'm pretty confident.
Is it in Detroit?
It is in Detroit, yeah.
So it'll be an empty arena. Yeah, exactly.
All of eight people. Poor Detroit. Poor Auburn Hills losing their team. Going to the big old metropolis that is Detroit.
Classic cities taken away from the little fellas.
Goddamn gentrification. Bullshit.
Blame Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
Always blame Dan Gilbert.
Pretty much. That's a good rule of thumb, I think. Do we have anything else to do?
I don't think we do. I think we can end the show by blaming Dan Gilbert.
We're going to live tweet ourselves watching the Hate Watch of the Week, by the way. We didn't do that this week.
We should.
Or the week before. But it was fun when we did that for the Pacers, or you did that for the Pacers game. We should both do it simultaneously when we watch
Sacramento
Detroit tomorrow night. Are you going to be around to watch tomorrow night?
I should be, depending on the college football schedule, but I will make sure it's on one of the screens in my humble abode.
Excellent.
I will send out gifts because I'm sure you're not aware of what those are in your old age.
It's pronounced GIF, but
okay. Oh, that's a debate for another day.
Yeah, no podcast has ever had that debate before.
No, so not at all.
We'll definitely dedicate some time to it at some point.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Hoop Talks Live podcast.